Good morning. Today is December 1st, 2022. It's approximately 9:30 a.m. This is the matter of the application Z0390-22. It is an application by the North Clackamas Parks and Recreation District. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed as a land use hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. This hearing is being recorded. I will state for the record that I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of this hearing to try to persuade me concerning any fact or issue present in this matter. I have considered issues of bias and conflict of interest and have determined that I do not have any bias or conflict of interest in this matter. As I stated, the county is making a record of this hearing. Prior to the end of or close of the record, I will ask whether any party or member of the audience wants an opportunity to provide additional evidence, arguments, or testimony. And I'll also ask whether the applicant wishes to waive the period for final written arguments. So I wanted to make sure that I made a statement about that so participants in the hearing have an opportunity to consider that. At this time, I'd like to ask the county to provide an explanation concerning participation in this hearing via the Zoom meeting platform.
Thank you, Carl. This public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both video and audio capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will use the raise hand feature. For attendees on PC or iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, either at the top or bottom of the screen, depending on your device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who's speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of the hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to my email address, which is mlord@clackamas.us, or you can mail it to the County Planning and Zoning Division at 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon, 97045. My email address, mlord@clackamas.us, is also available on the webpage where you found the link for today's Zoom hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address either by emailing it to me or by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Thanks.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation to share this morning?
I do, yes.
Okay. Then the order of proceedings will be that I will ask the county to begin the hearing by sharing that presentation. And then I will provide an opportunity for the applicant to also provide information if the applicant chooses. Then I will provide an opportunity for members of the public to participate in the hearing. All right, please proceed.
I'll go ahead and share my screen. We can go through my PowerPoint presentation together. All righty. So my name is Melissa Lord. I'm speaking on behalf of the Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division today as it pertains to file Z0390-22, which is an application for a conditional use permit. The property in question is located on Concord Road between McLaughlin Boulevard and Oatfield. The zoning of the property is primarily urban low density residential, both R7 and R8.5, and it's also zoned open space management. The proposal that we are reviewing is for the North Clackamas Parks and Rec District to use a portion of an existing building, which was a former school, for their offices, and another portion of that building for indoor recreation facilities for things including rec classes and sports club activities. Briefly, the history of this property, the building that's on site used to be a school. It's been a school since the late 1800s, and this particular building has been on site for many decades, since about the 40s. The building was used as a school up until 2014, at which time that use went away and has not been, a new use has not really been moved into this building since. So the Parks and Rec District, like I said, is going to be using some of the building for offices and then some of the building for recreation, indoor recreation uses. Because the Parks and Rec District is a public entity, the use here is a government use, which can be allowed in the R7 and R8.5 zone with a conditional use permit. The applicant's not proposing any changes to the site or to the building at this time. I understand that there is anticipated future development of the site, where there might be a library expansion and a redevelopment of the site, but that's not being proposed with this application at this time. It's just using the existing building as is. For context, I've got two diagrams here. The first is going to be the use of the existing structure on the lower level. All of the gray shaded area are areas of the building that will not be used at this time. The blue shaded area are spaces that will be used for the rec facilities, so sports clubs and classes and things like that. And the purple shaded area are the spaces that would be used for office uses for the Parks District. This is the lower level of the building, and this is the upper level of the building. So you can see the blue area for the sport and rec club, rec facility, and then the purple area for the district offices. So I'd like to touch on four different code sections in my presentation. The staff report that I have written on behalf of the planning department was entered into the record as exhibit number one. The specific code criteria that I would like to talk about today relate specifically to recommended conditions of approval that were in that staff report. So first we can talk about walkways. Walkways, first of all, we'll talk about the walkway as it relates to the parking area, the parking lot that's accessed from Concord Road. This site has two parking areas, so we'll talk about both. The first one is the main parking lot, has 35 spaces, much more than the other parking lot we'll talk about in just a moment. And I've circled that area in red here on the screen. So walkways, as they pertain to this parking lot access from Concord Road, the parking lot itself is not being redeveloped with the proposal. But as it currently stands, there aren't any walkways within the parking area or adjacent to the parking spaces. And this is a requirement of the zoning code section referenced on the screen. Given the current configuration of the parking area, there is already an existing raised curb or wheel stop. And so in order to comply with this specific code section, we're recommending that the applicant put in a 5-foot wide walkway along that, I believe it's northeastern, given the orientation of the parking lot, but the northeastern part of that parking lot where it's identified on the screen here. This is to provide safety for the parking area, for the members of the public, and for the staff who will be moving into this building, into the offices of this building, and just for accessibility to maneuver this parking area, because there's no existing walkway within or adjacent to the lot. The still in the same discussion of walkways, referencing the same code sections here, but we'll move on to discussion of the other parking lot on the property, which is accessed from Spalding Avenue. And this parking lot's much smaller. It has about 8 parking spaces in it. Particularly what I'd like to talk about in this parking lot as it pertains to walkways is the physical barriers that we can see in the photo here that would necessitate a person using this parking lot or somebody using this ADA parking space to walk effectively through the parking area and the drive aisle to be able to link up with the pathway that exists to the right of the screen where my mouse is showing this walkway. And what I mean by that is this ADA parking space is, I believe, the only ADA accessible parking space that serves the building. And as you can see from the photo, there's a number of physical barriers blocking direct access to the nearest building entry. There's a raised concrete edge wall, there's a bicycle rack, there's a guardrail. And I'll show another photo in just a moment to help demonstrate where somebody using this parking lot or using this ADA space may need to walk in order to access and connect with this pathway over here. So from where the camera is, if you were to turn your head to the right, that's the next photo I'll show you. So if you want to pay attention to the ADA space, the bike rack, and the concrete wall as reference point, I'll switch the photo and we can turn our heads to the right and look at this angle. So you can see that somebody using the ADA parking space over here would in fact have to maneuver through the parking area, through the drive aisle, around all of these physical barriers to link up to this pathway. So the code itself, section 10.05.02, does say that walkways that cross driveways and parking areas must be clearly identifiable. They will continue to need to be 5 feet wide. The code in this section also, based on the conditions of this specific area, could be met by painting a crosswalk using paint to make that walkway identifiable. But as you can see from the photos, there's no clear pathway or walkway within this particular parking area that doesn't require a pedestrian or somebody using that parking space to go through the drive aisle or through the parking area to access the parking lot, or pardon me, the walkway. So moving on, I'll discuss the bicycle parking in the bike rack design. The bike rack that's currently on site is in this photo here. It does not currently meet the design requirements that the section 1015.03 of the zoning code require. Among other things, bicycle racks have to be able to accommodate, to lock the bike frame in a wheel with a U-shaped lock, or to lock both wheels of the bike around with a chain or a cable of 6 feet in length. And this specific bike rack cannot accommodate either of those things, so it simply just does not comply. The location of the, I just add this in here as a note, the location of the current bike rack, I do believe meets the standard. So it's not necessarily a requirement that the bike rack location be changed, but the applicant may wish to do so, provided that it continues to meet the standard based on the recommendations that we've made in the conditions of approval. Third on the list was the Solid Waste and Recycling Code Section 1021. This particular section is applicable to institutional uses. It requires there to be a trash enclosure. As you can see from the Google Street View image, there is no trash enclosure on site, and the applicant is not proposing to add one in. And this code section is applicable to institutional uses, as I mentioned. So that's why we've recommended this as a condition of approval. And lastly, we'll just touch on the drive approach. The existing drive approaches on Concord Road are not compliant with the current roadway standards or ADA accessibility. So there is a recommended condition of approval to either remove and replace the existing drive approach with one that complies, or to add a 7-foot wide sidewalk behind the existing approach to provide that ADA accessibility. I will make one point of clarification from the staff report and from the recommended conditions. The County Engineering Division, who reviewed this particular compliance with this particular section, would like to clarify that this condition or this criteria would just be for this the drive approach that's closest to McLaughlin Boulevard on Concord Road. There are, in fact, two that are off of Concord Road. One is up closer to Oakfield towards the trash enclosure service entry. The other one is this one in the photo here. And so this condition would relate specifically and only to this drive entrance that accesses the parking area. So that's going to conclude my presentation for right now. But if you have questions or if we want to talk about different things, I'm happy to answer those.
And thank you very much. I thought that was very clear. I do need to apologize. I skipped the part of my script this morning. I went right to my handwritten notes. So I do have a script that has advice for the applicant and is that I need to put on the record this morning. This is, first of all, let me remind everyone, this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to this decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. And that leads my segue to the applicant anyway. Does the applicant dispute any of the recommended conditions of approval by the county? Use your raise hand feature if you'd like to respond. Okay, Ms. Kleek.
We plan to address it in our testimony. So we'll talk about it.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
Or you want some clarification of a proposed condition of approval. Okay, thank you. At this time, I'd like to provide an opportunity for the applicant to present evidence, testimony, and advocacy on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you very much. My name is Michael Bork. I am the North Clackamas Parks and Recreation District Director. I'll be providing the first applicant testimony. Also joining the applicant side is Liz Manser and Debbie Kleek, who will also be providing testimony as well. So I'm going to try and be brief and provide a little bit of historical of why this conditional use came about and in specifically the timing. So I started with the district as the director a little over a year ago. And the first thing that I noticed is I have a fairly large district of 110,000 residents, and my district offices were not within my district. So all of my administrative offices were at the Red Soils campus in Oregon City, which is not within the NCPRD district boundaries. I also, second fact to that, know that I had several facilities within my inventory that could have district, that we could have our district offices there. The Concord property, when I first got here, had already been identified as the NCPRD headquarters in the big library plan that others, specifically Liz, will speak to of the full plan. The other fact that I had with me is that I have these facilities that I own outright, but I was paying the county about $150,000 a year in rent to be quite honest, is taxpayer from our district dollars that I was spending to pay rent outside of our district. So to me, it made sense to make this move of our administrative offices out of the Oregon City campus into our facilities. It made the most sense to move it to Concord, even though it is ahead of the full project that we fully anticipate having to meet all of the conditions that were set forth. So with that, you know, we, to put it into perspective, the administrative offices as they are really constitute about 8 workstations that we'll be occupying in the space that was identified in the offices. And of those, we are still in a mostly telework capacity for our administrative staff. During COVID, we learned that our administrative offices can operate very effectively with minimal staffing. Most of our communications are all done through email, and if not, then through public meetings, very, you know, in face. So we don't have a lot of traffic coming into our offices. We just need a place that we can have workstations when staff wants to gather or when things need to be printed, and to be quite honest, have our mail sent to. And so we don't disagree with the conditions as they've been listed. What we do have the concern is doing them now in the context of what is coming in the larger project, because we don't want to do things and spend money right now that, quite honestly, most of the conditions would have to be undone and torn up as part of the larger project. A couple of the things like the bike racks and enclosing the dumpsters areas, that's immediate things. That's easy. Even looking at moving the location of our handicapped accessible parking space and marking a space that's closer to the handicapped entrance. That was a historic handicapped space when it was operated as a school. So I think there's things that we can do to allow for occupancy within, you know, while the rest of the project is getting ramped up. And with that, I'm going to just set it up and hopefully have set it up well enough to turn it over to Liz. And again, I'll be happy to answer any other questions that you may have. So thank you. I'll turn it over to Liz.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. And as Mike and Mel both alluded to, this is part of a long project that is dated back, predates Mike and me and Debbie to 2017. And so there's a major site upgrade associate that we're working on that has to do with a new park, a library, and enhanced use of that existing building as a community center. And if you don't mind, I'm going to share my screen for a few minutes just to give Carl and the group a little bit of background as to the work that's been done so far and where we're at in the process. So in 2017, there was a settlement agreement to build 2 new libraries at the same time this property was acquired by NCPRD. They decided to move forward with this development together. And then over 2019 and 2020, there's a huge amount of public outreach, community involvement as needs assessment and technical investigation was happening. And that's when we started initiating these conversations with planning in the county. Let's see if I can. And then we've been continuing design for the Concord campus, which will incorporate the Oak Lodge Library, a community park, and the community center. And we had a conversation with the group back in June, and understanding that Mike's desire to move in the NCPRD offices prior to the overall development being complete, and decided that this conditional use should be separated to allow him to move forward a little bit sooner than the overall campus conditional use. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The overall campus is in about 50% design development, if that kind of lets you know where we're at with right now. Our construction is planned hopefully to start in fall of 2023.
Okay.
So it's not a, you know, this is an immediate development that we're planning on. This gives us an idea. The site plan that we submitted as part of this application was obviously just tied to the the work associated with moving the NCPRD offices in, which is minimal. This shows the comprehensive plan at 50% design development for the entire campus, where we do, I think, very cleanly address most of these conditions of approval through this. A lot of accessibility upgrades, cleaner transportation or access to the site and through the site, a trash enclosure per ZDO standards, new bike racks per ZDO standards, and a lot of rework of the existing grades to create accessible parking in both parking lots with an accessible route to a new accessible entry to the building and new elevators. So
let me ask you a couple of clarifying questions. So
of course.
I'm looking at your, and I understand that this is subject to change. This is yes. a draft, but you're on the right-hand side, 5 foot wide pedestrian walkway. You're pointing to the same area that Ms. Lord was pointing to.
Yes.
Okay. The I see where trash enclosure compliant. So that relates to the condition of approval that Ms. Lord also referenced about the requirement for that. So that is intended to be completed with this current application, correct? Trash needs to go, or do you want to, are you, is this one of the items that you would like to talk about postponing?
I think that this is one, like Mike mentioned, we'd be open to having a conversation about including in this current conditional use application. I think for us, and Debbie will get into this in more detail with her part of the testimony, are the more major site elements such as this pedestrian walkway and access into the site at the driveway.
Okay, well, I'll wait on that then.
Great.
Sure. Thank you. Go ahead. My other question is, would you be submitting this as an exhibit to the record?
Debbie, is that what our plan would be?
Yes, we plan to leave the record open and supply more testimony after the hearing. So yes, this is something that we would submit.
As an exhibit, perfect. Yeah. And we'll talk about that before I close the record of the hearing or actually close this hearing. So we'll have an opportunity to talk about timeline, but the record will certainly be open till 4 p.m. today. So it would be easy enough to do it today if that's what the applicant chooses.
Great, thanks. And I think that is a good segue into to Debbie to speak a little bit about the conditions of approval we'd like to revisit.
All right. And thank you for your testimony and advocacy. Right.
All right, thanks. So I'm Debbie Cleek. I'm a land use planner with the Book and Group. And as we've alluded to, the staff report for the conditional use has several conditions of approval that require development on the site that will ultimately need to be removed within a year to redevelop the site.
Right.
The specific conditions of approval that we are most concerned about are conditions 5 and 6, which are the two that require pathways from both Concord Street and Spalding Street. The issue is that meeting this condition will require significant grading, specifically the ADA path. To get from Spalding to the building will require rating to actually do an ADA path. And ultimately, the building itself isn't ADA accessible right now. There's no way to get in it. It's all stairs. And as Liz mentioned, improvements to this building are planned that would include an ADA entrance and an elevator. So right now, it would be an ADA path to nowhere. But the biggest issue is both of these paths will ultimately have to be destroyed or removed as part of the construction of phase two. Even if we could put them in the right place right now, there's the heavy equipment that's going to be required to regrade and rebuild the parking lot would ultimately destroy these two pathways. And then the second condition is condition 11, which requires improvements to the existing driveway on Concord Street to allow the ADA paths around the driveways. And the issue we have there is that that driveway is going to be moving. So we're going to be developing two brand new driveways on Concord, as Liz showed in the site plan, that neither of them are in the location of the existing driveway. So again, this would be work that we would have to put in now at this point to be ultimately torn up. And as we mentioned, as a lesser concern is condition 7 requiring the new bike rack. We feel like that's a lesser concern because if we put in a bike rack, like a staple rack, you could ultimately pull it back out again and move it to the proper location, as well as like upgrading the trash enclosure. That would be work that we could do now, but again, it's just going to have to, it could be repurposed into phase 2, but ultimately it's going to be all pulled up and moved. So, as mentioned, these improvements will require significant funds as well as contractor mobilization fees. And these funds will be ultimately wasted by the county to meet these conditions. And the indoor recreation uses, as the planner said, are allowed by right. So these improvements are only tied to the conditional use for the office use that we're asking for. And we just don't feel like these improvements are proportional to the use, because ultimately, occupying the site will be a matter of moving in furniture. There's no building permit necessary. The office use that the Parks District is going to be occupying is really ready to go. So all they're asking is to move 8 district employees into the site. The recreational use that's included in the plan is actually already happening on the site. It's allowed by right. And so they've kind of been doing it ever since COVID. It's just sort of uses that had been happening, and there's no development review required because it's allowed by right, and they didn't have to do any changes to the building to make that happen. So ultimately, there's going to be no significant impact on the neighborhood and no new members of the public visiting the building as part of this specific conditional use. Like he said, it's 8 employees, 3 of which will be there most of the time, and the rest will be telecommuting, and it's mainly going to be used for staff meetings and mail. So what we're asking the hearings officer to consider is modifying these conditions to allow more time to meet them, allowing North Clackamas to occupy the building now without having to make major modifications to the site. And we realize that, yeah, there's a chance that this second phase might not happen. I as Liz showed on that timeline, like this plan has already gone through and been looked at by the Board of County Commissioners 5 different times and has gotten 5 different Board of County Commissioners sign off. So we feel pretty confident that phase 2 is going to happen, and it's going to look pretty close to like what the plan that Liz showed. So we have been asking the county to consider some mechanisms that would allow these conditions of approval to push further out into the future so that we can occupy the site now. But if, for instance, phase 2 doesn't happen, there'll still be mechanisms in place that will make those improvements happen. So 3 ideas that we came up with that we've asked the county to consider. One would be to have us design those improvements and post a bond for the work. And then, if phase 2 doesn't happen, then the bond, we either build those improvements or the county has a bond that allows them to build the county those improvements. Bonds usually are only happen for public improvements where the public, where like right of way has the ability to go do the work because they own the property. And we've been talking to engineering about this, and they seem amenable to allowing us to bond for the driveway improvements. So that leaves the conditions of approval on the site. So 2 ideas we had was to add a deadline to the conditions of approval that would require them to be met within 3 years if no further development is proposed on the site. So there would be a mechanism in place that if phase 2 didn't happen, these conditions of approval would still come up and would still have to be met. Or another option would be to require a covenant or a development agreement to be recorded against the property that would require the improvements to be made within 3 years' time if no further development is proposed on the property. All of these mechanisms that we are proposing, I have personally used in other jurisdictions for phase developments. And this is something that happens a lot with phase developments where, things need to happen in the order that they need to happen. And I would be happy to provide the hearings officer with examples of conditions of approval for other jurisdictions that contain this type of language, if that's something that you would want, or we would be happy to provide a rewrite of these conditions of approval using some of these mechanisms to show examples of how this could work. We feel that all of these suggestions will assure that these improvements get made if phase 2 doesn't happen, but allows the county to occupy the site now without having to make major investment in the site for things that are ultimately going to have to be removed within a year. So that's what we're requesting on the conditions of approval.
Okay. Thank you very much. I thought that was very clear. Does the applicant have any more testimony or?
No, thank you for your consideration.
All right. I'd like to provide, before I open it up to the public for comment, an opportunity for the county to respond to the request for essentially modifications to the proposed conditions of approval.
Sure, thank you. I have a couple comments, but Martha Fritzi, do you want to, do you have anything to add at this time?
Yeah, thank you. Hi, I'm Martha Fritzi. I'm a principal planner with the county's planning and zoning division. And Mel had asked me to sit in on this hearing because I've been involved with this project for several years as well, including both pre-application conferences that happened this year and in 2020, and then some other initial meetings that happened about 2.5 years ago. And we are very aware that the ultimate plan for this property is to build the library and to use the entirety of the Concord School building as recreation facilities and community space. And we actually were very supportive and encouraged the applicants to split this into two phases so North Clackamas Parks offices could move in on a shorter time frame than the entire development of the site. But I think that there's a couple of things that I just want to point out and or comments that have concerned me a little bit that have been made. First of all, this is not just the offices moving in. It's not just the 8 employees, or I can't remember the exact number. There is some public space that's proposed. It's recreational space. And I think that that's important to keep in mind, that it seems to me the majority of the conditions of approval that are being discussed really relate to safe and accessible access. And so I think that is important to keep in mind that this building will be potentially open to the public. The second thing is when we had the latest pre-application conference, you know, we had a conversation about whether, you know, what sort of would trigger improvements to the site. And we all agreed that just doing this interior work that they are proposing would not trigger a full redevelopment of the parking lot. Our zoning code is a little unclear on what that trigger is. And we had agreed we would not require them to bring it up to all the current codes and the landscaping, et cetera. I think that the few small improvements that are proposed as the conditions of approval here honor that agreement, but also are things that really are minimal and necessary for safe accessibility to the building. With that said, I think that Mel and Ken are going to be able to address sort of these questions about bonding and or writing a condition that you could maybe tie to the potential, you know, redevelopment of the site. I think that my thoughts were organized when I wrote them down, but they kind of got confused. But my last point, I guess, is that we do know that there's a plan to redevelop the rest of this site. We do not have an application in. I don't know if the funding has been secured or available to be realistic about this fall 2023 timeframe. I hope so. I mean, I think it's a great project personally. But there is no certainty and no guarantee. We've been having these conversations, like was mentioned, since 2017, and that's what, 5 years now. These big projects do take time. And so it's really difficult for us in planning to condition something on a potential future development. I do see that the train may have left the building and like it might be imminent, but it may not be financially feasible for several years now. I don't know all of the details, but it's just that when we do phase developments and write conditions like Debbie referenced for phase development, we're approving a phased development. We're approving the development and understanding that it may happen in the future. But in this case, we're not approving the future development. It's still theoretical. So
I see that.
Those are all of my comments. So Mel and Kent can address, I think, the other two questions that are proposals that Debbie brought up.
Thank you.
Thanks, Martha. I'd be happy to talk about kind of our thoughts. I think Martha made a lot of really great points that I won't echo for the interest of time. But if you had questions, Carl, about any of the proposals that the applicant had made of bonding or condition timing, I'm happy to provide any comment on that as well, if you'd like.
I definitely see the issue here. I mean, it's an issue that is the basic reluctance to dig a hole to fill it up to dig another hole. I do understand that, but I think that that I've heard some the very strong counter to that is that if we're going to provide usage of the facility, it needs to have safe access to. And I don't think anyone here actually disputes that. It's a matter of how to go about doing this in a project that is going to be done in steps, and it's unclear on what timeline and what the final project would even look like. What I have done in the past, where there are these kind of impasses, is ask the parties if they want to keep the record open to discuss this outside of the hearing process and make a proposal. And if the parties cannot make agree to a proposal on these conditions of approval, each submit what they want me to decide about with a written argument about it. And I just make the decision. It is to me a better approach than me looking at it and solving and crafting a decision without having proposals from either side about what is, what makes sense. I just don't, I'm reluctant to just impose something, is what I'm saying, without seeing a proposal by the applicant and, in this case, the county. So to me, that's what I'm considering asking the parties here to do. Does the county have any other rebuttal or statement? I see Mr. Kent is here. Any further statement about that from the county? No. All right. Oh, Mr. Kent.
Sorry. I can add a little bit. I know there's a question of bonding. I mean, engineering staff has discussed this briefly, at least in this initial review. Essentially, weren't in favor of bonding because mainly the what is driving the access and the ADA access is the use of the building. Once it's established, once they occupy, then we are bringing public to the site. So at least initially that's, we're at least want to stick with a condition prior to occupying the or beginning the use that we would provide this access. As Mel had mentioned, we would have a modification to the proposed condition where initially we were recommending both driveways on Concord provide this ADA accessibility, but in evaluating a little further, the connectivity beyond the I guess it's the western or easterly driveway, sorry, towards Oatfield isn't provided. This sidewalk ends just one property beyond the school site. And there isn't really an opportunity for the sidewalk to continue. The sidewalk at the westerly driveway to that main parking lot has a continuous sidewalk down to McLaughlin. So there would be a path from McLaughlin up to the main entrance, crossing this driveway. So there was at least for now, we'd be recommending a modification of that condition and just address the one driveway at this point.
I understand. I'd like to provide an opportunity for the public to participate in, and then I'll come back to this issue and we'll talk about resolving this. Do we have public participation this morning? Someone that has a raised hand? Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for taking my comment. I'm a neighbor. Our family lives across the street from the Concord School, right on Concord Road there. And I just wanted to sit in the meeting because, of course, we've been waiting with bated breath to see what happens with the school across the street. And, you know, we spend a lot of time there, you know, walking our dogs, and we have a son who uses the playground and stuff. So thanks for filling us in. And, you know, we're glad to hear that this isn't replacing the plan to build the community center. You know, we have a lot of conservation-minded neighbors. Many of us in the area are doing habitat restoration through the Backyard Habitat Project or program. There's a creek that runs through here, and so we've been restoring it with native plants. And we're hopeful that with the new community center going up, that you know, that there will be similar things. You know, planting native plants and things like that. So just wanted to speak up in case, you know, I don't know how management of the lands over there will be affected by this, but there definitely are quite a few, you know, highly invasive weeds over there that I don't know if this would contribute to the management. And, you know, with the kind of in that same vein, I guess from our perspective, doing a lot of construction just to undo it, in the near future, as it seems like will happen, we would be concerned about that, especially with the water flow issue. You know, there are certain areas, if you go over there, where water is even threatening to take down a big retaining wall. And at least sitting through some of the commission meetings, it sounds like there would have to be a lot of earth moving for some of the construction that's planned. And so, you know, we just worry about the environmental impact of that. And just wanted to raise those points.
Thank you for your participation this morning. Do we have another public participant with a raised hand? No? Okay, thank you. Well, let's revisit our timeline. Oh.
Miller just raised her hand and then it went down. I'm not sure if she wanted to say something.
Let's give her a moment to put her hand back up. Not everyone is that familiar with the Zoom meeting platform. Oh. Good morning. You're muted, Ms. Hagen Miller.
All right. How about now? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have been involved. You talk about 2017. I've been involved with this project since lobbying the school district not to sell it to private entity, to sell it to the county or to another department in the county. So I've got a long history here. Listening to today's meetings, I have a couple of concerns I've written down. One of them would be the stranded investment of doing this work that is being driven by the codes that we have in place. That would end up with a stranded investment because we have a landscape artist who's doing the design for the rest of the property other than where the school is. And that includes the parking lot and the access to those kinds of things. So I'm very conscious of the money that this thing has required. And we were told initially everything was in place. We didn't need to worry about money. And yet we're doing things that will strand investment in the property. That's one of my major concerns. The other one is that we were never led to believe at the very beginning that the Parks District was going to move its offices into this particular property. There are, when they acquired the, when they made the deal with the school district, they actually acquired two other properties in that deal. And some of us believe that the Parks District could move their offices to one of those other two locations. So when we were working on the plans for the school, it wasn't perceived by those of us in the community that the Parks District was going to have actual all-time offices in it. We're not opposed to that, but it just wasn't in the original concept of what we were looking at here. And let me look here. I wrote down a couple of things. Let me see that I've covered them all. Oh, I want to know, will this video, where will we be able to refer citizens to see this? And is it going to be on the Parks District website? Is it going to be on the Planning District website? I'm never certain where I can refer people, because others will want to watch what has been said here today and give feedback when you leave the process open.
Okay. So I'm going to let Ms. Reinhardt answer your question, because she will be posting just audio of this meeting this morning.
On the land use hearings officer webpage, and I can email that link to you after I'm done and I get this posted, which will be later today.
That would be good, Darcy, because I'm in the process of sending out the CIA newsletter to the community, and I want to put that link into the newsletter.
Sure, I'll be happy to send it to you
as soon as you can.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I thought that was clear. Are there any other members of the public this morning that want to participate in this hearing? You're muted, Ms. Hagenmiller.
I'm looking at the rest of this.
Oh, I thought you were finished.
I actually probably was. I'm looking at my notes right now. I think the project, I've heard concerns about the project moving forward. The citizens are not going to allow that not to happen.
Okay.
The project will move forward.
I'm going to put you down as in support of the application.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Well, let's talk about timeline and about these conditions of approval. So I made a suggestion, if the applicant wants to request that the record stay open, as I indicated before I closed this hearing, I would ask whether any party or member of the audience wanted an opportunity to provide additional evidence, arguments, or testimony, and whether the applicant wished to waive the period for final written argument. The process would be that if the applicant makes that request, I would keep the record open for a week for the applicant to submit additional materials, including, if the applicant chooses, a proposal or perhaps an agreed upon proposal with the county staff concerning the conditions of approval that the county has proposed. Then a second week period for rebuttal. Oh, excuse me, the first week for any party to submit information. A second 7-day period for rebuttal of that, anything that's submitted to the record for my consideration during the first 7 days. Let me make sure that I make that clear. 7 days for any party to submit additional evidence, any additional arguments or testimony, a second 7 day period to be responsive to anything submitted to the record in the first 7 days. And then the applicant would have a last word period, a third 7 day period that, as I suggested, the applicant could choose to waive and doesn't have to make that decision right now. It could be done at any time during the open record period. There, I think I've reached some, made a fairly straightforward communication of what I'm trying to say. So let's hear from the applicant.
Yes, we would like to keep the application period open.
All right. And so a 7 day period for any parties to submit additional evidence, testimony, written argument, then a second 7 day period that will be a rebuttal. Then there is a potential last third 7 day period that the applicant can waive. So I'm not requiring a decision at this time. Ms.
I'm just wondering if we can discuss some ideas that have occurred while we've been talking.
One can have a brief time of that, but to me, it's not as productive to have too much of a just go back and forth. I'd rather it be between parties and Ms. Okay. Oh, I thought you had a statement about that.
No, I was fiddling with my pen. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No problem. I have one of my own, so certainly understand that. All right. Any questions about the order that I just issued concerning keeping the record open?
All right. Maybe I do have a question. I just want to clarify, the record is open for 3 weeks, but the applicant has the option to waive the final week at any point in time.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But it has to be done in writing.
Yes.
Could be an email, but I want something, and I want to have something on my desk.
Absent that, the record is open for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or clarifications? All right. So I anticipate receiving additional written materials, testimony, arguments, written arguments. If the applicant and county reach agreements, then fine. I'll see something that's agreed upon. If not, make your written argument to me. I will make a final decision. That decision, of course, as I stated, can be appealed, and the information on how to appeal my decision will be on my decision. So thank you all for your participation this morning. With that, I'll close this hearing.
Thanks.